The Red Shirt Interviews podcast is a production of the Red Shirt Geeks. Find us at redshirtgeeks.com, where every expendable hero has a home.
Shut up, Wesley.
Red Shirt Geeks.
Hide behind the mound of dead Barnes.
Red Shirt Geeks.
All right, folks, welcome to another wonderful episode of the Red Shirt Geeks. I'm your host, Laz D, the pseudo Kiwi, and with me is my co-host, Dave Probert. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
And this week we have a wonderful, wonderful interview, some very special guests, some kindred spirits, if you like, in so far as that we all seem to have this fascination with a slightly off magenta-colored attire. We have Ashley Victoria Robinson and Jason Inman, the creators and stars of The Red Shirt Diaries. Welcome, guys. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Hi.
Now, real quick, I have to ask that this is not a trick from the captain to, like, stick us on an away team and kill us, right?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, it might be.
No. We talked about this. Okay.
Oh, they're not in on it.
No. Shh, that's why I keep saying no.
Oh.
Off camera.
No, I volunteer for nothing.
Well, again, thank you guys for coming on the show. It's, I'm sure that, you know, we've been seeing a lot of good press about this series. I know that you're at this point when we're recording this interview that you guys are getting ready to drop episode 3. So we've got one and two out already. Fantastic. I mean, it is probably, you know, not to oversimplify the concept. It is something that is so easily followed that, you know, you have us, you know, by the end of episode 1, you know, you already had us eaten out of the palm of your hands, you know. I'm sorry, I fell in love with the, with Sulu's.
With Gertrude.
That's right, the Sulu's plant, and I'm like, I don't care if that's a guy's hand and a puppet. I mean, look, I let the Muppet slide, alright? This is gonna make it.
Honestly, the puppetry was done really well. The puppetry was done really well. I really enjoyed that.
Jason.
And I was going to ask if that was Jason that had his hand up the puppet's planter. That,
I indeed played Gertrude in episode 1, and it was literally me laying on the floor with my hand up in the air, not being able to see what anybody was doing.
It was great.
You just love the Muppets.
Yeah. Did a great job of, like, portraying the emotion and everything out of a hand puppet. Really, really well done.
As you'll come to see over the course of the series, Jason's our auxiliary cast member. Whenever we needed someone played, he was the one who took on the job.
Yeah, hang on a second. Let me step out behind the camera.
Yeah. Couldn't
you tell? O'Hara was you? That's impressive. Good makeup.
Wow, that's
a great puppetry job, right?
I can't believe that was really you. All right, so in all seriousness and, you know, What really made you guys want to do something like this? Because as Star Trek nerds, we are absolutely, you know, anytime we get something new and fresh and entertaining, we're just onto it. We're just jumping right onto it and, like, latching on. Like, this is, we got to have more of this. And I dare say that, you know, this may be a little bit early in the piece, but I dare say that this has become the 3-minute crack rocks of Star Trek.
Yes, I will take it. I had this idea for a little while or something sort of like this, watching through the TOS episodes in order, because I've never done that. I've seen them very piecemeal or in sections kind of here and there.
Sure.
And I'm not very good at filming things or lighting things or editing things. So I had this idea, and then that was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe now, and then I told Jason about it at the end of last year, and he was like, yeah, we could do that. It'll be totally easy, and it's some of the most work that I've put into anything in my life.
It is. I mean, you know, we're filmmakers ourselves, and, you know, sometimes the easiest things are the hardest things to film, or the simplest things, I should say, are the hardest things to film.
I mean, and we built the set with our bare hands too. So almost everything that's on screen comes from me and Jason. Almost.
Yeah, but the set is impressive. I mean, look, we were sitting there, we were having a discussion before the interview about whose framed picture was on the wall. And I said, and he goes, that's Kirk's picture back there. I said, no, it's not. It's Gary Mitchell back there. I was like, you don't get things like this wrong, Dave. Your pedigree is better than this.
You have two eyes, and you're not the first people to notice that Gary Mitchell is back there. And all I will say is that by the time of this recording, of course, or by the time this episode airs, everybody, all the listeners will know if they watch the Retro Diaries what the answer to this question is. But there is a specific reason why Gary Mitchell is on Ensign Williams' wall, and the original order when they put Where No Man Has Gone Before, it's the original pilot, but they put it third. So since we're following the Netflix order, we were like, okay, so we got to do something different. Oh, let's actually show the real first day of Ensign Williams on the Enterprise.
Okay.
And so you'll see in episode three, that she will find like an old deleted log that she thought she deleted, and you'll see it rewind through the first two episodes and then get to the original log. So this is technically her first log ever in episode three. I know it's kind of weird like that, but blame NBC.
Yeah. I also kept that framed Gary Mitchell picture, and it's on my wall, so it'll be with me forever.
That's awesome. I mean, you gotta have Gary Mitchell up there because it's like he's a flash in the pan, but everybody remembers him. And you're right. Speaking of Star Trek and the way NBC and Desilu decided how to do things, obviously Where No Man Has Gone Before was the second pilot that was commissioned, and for whatever reason they decided, let's put a couple other episodes in front of it. So
because the space psychic kid, jerk kid, is way better than glowy eye guy.
NBC Studios literally thought a salt monster and a telepathic kid were more interesting than what happened in Where No Man Has Gone Before. That's the real reason.
How can you say that? How can you even think such blasphemy? But it is what it is, and it's now part of Trek lore. But it's really well done. I mean, again, you guys have taken something that has been done so many times. I mean, everybody has had their own spin on Star Trek in some way, shape, or form, and now we have this, this comedic, unique perspective of what's going on in these stories. And it harkens back to the old things about the jokes about where do people go to the bathroom on the starship, and it's like, what about the other guys?
What about the lower decks?
Yeah, what about the people down there who work cleaning the plasma conduits? What about those people? And again, you were taking this really fresh spin on it, so it's been really entertaining. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'm still trying to figure out which one I like the best right now, but it's a toss between the Romulan bow or the Vulcan Dodge. And
the Vulcan Dodge was my favorite.
May or may not have been decided 10 seconds before we actually shot them.
Well, I can tell you actually, okay, so in Charlie X's all these exercises, and we had all these exercises that we did, and we did them the day of, and I literally was watching actually do them, and I was like, man, I don't think any of these are working. Let's just go stupid. Let's just go really stupid. And what was the original Vulcan? That was not the original Vulcan Dodge. The Vulcan Dodge was something else. And then
Zindi Zigzag was different too. Yeah. It was like me doing serpentine, but the bug thing is way funnier.
Yeah. But the original Vulcan Dodge was something else. And then I was literally like, what if you just did live long and prosper and shook your head no?
Yeah, that was brilliant. No, the way she delivered it was great. I like that it was like a three-step. She puts up her hand. She does the live long and prosper, and then she shakes her head no.
In the original footage, he might have been talking me through it, and it might have been removed. I don't remember. But he was like, yeah, it's got to be very, very, deliberate. You said that. Now I sound less smart.
Well, we were wondering whether or not that would, how well that would play off in a pub. Some guy walks up and says, hey, can I get your number?
Well, let me tell you from experience, a really great litmus test to see if a guy is good or not is start talking about Deep Space Nine. And if he can roll with it, then he's a keeper.
I did not know that, but I'm glad. I'll have to remind my wife about this.
Right? All the time.
speaking of DS9, later on, we're actually going to be. Are you guys familiar with the fan movie Star Trek Axanar?
Yeah, we watched the
prelude.
Yeah. We've backed both the prelude and the main movie, and you know, one of the stars of that movie is John Hertzler, J.G. Hertzler,
mm-hmm.
And
Bartok.
Yeah, and speaking of Bartok, we will be having him on the show. I think we've got him in probably about 4 or 6 weeks.
I am so jealous because I love that guy. He's so good, and I think it's really cool that now he's doing all these Star Trek fan films. I have a story, because the first Trek convention that I ever went to was this little dinky affair in Tulsa, Oklahoma, because I'm from Kansas originally, and I drove to Tulsa and went to this thing, and he was there. But there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, everybody left him alone, and so he was like the sad man at his table. And I looked over there, and I literally was with my friends. I was like, that's Martok. I'm going to go talk to him. And I literally went over there, and I was like, hey, man, I really respect your acting, and I love your character. And it like seemed like it saved his entire convention, because he's like, thank you. I really appreciate that. You're too kind. You know?
He just talks like Martok.
Yeah, it's his real voice.
Perhaps today was a good day to visit you at the convention.
You've brought me honor.
He was really cool.
You have brought honor upon my house today. $15, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I know we've sort of it's wonderful to be able to talk to people who are so passionate about, you know, not just about putting something funny out there and something entertaining just for the sake of doing so, but also diehard Trek nerds is always fantastic to have on the show. You know, again, I'm not dropping names, but I've been dropping names all episode. You know, I had the privilege before we formed the Redshirt Geeks. I was actually a co-host on another show, and we were able to, as Prelude was getting spun up, we interviewed Gary Graham. And I mean, for me, I think you can actually see my heart pumping out of my chest, because I'm like, not only is this Saval, this is Matt Sykes from Alien Nation, and you know,
oh hell, I forgot that was him.
Yeah, and I'm
that's
like
him.
I'm like, oh my
goodness. My
so yeah, and as soon as we mentioned that, it was just like we uncorked something, and this beautiful, beautiful interview just came flowing. I think we talked for like an hour with this guy. So again, you know, we love watching your show. We love seeing that you got, you know, quite frankly, Ensign Williams has no concept, no gravity of the situation that she's in. But at the same time,
I think that's what makes it the most sort of watchable for me. Yeah. is you know, because she doesn't understand the gravity of the situation around her, you could say, it makes it very aloof, and you connect with her, and then it's like, oh, poor girl, she's gonna get shot in an away team, you know, like, oh,
you're like, yeah, there's this wonderful part about her being there, but there's this sadness and this bittersweet memory in the back, or feeling in the back of your head, you're like, but policy dictates she has to die.
A terrible foreboding, you know?
Yeah, like, why does she have to die? Well, we haven't written that yet, but she has to die.
When we run out of episodes, maybe that'll be the dramatic end.
Well, I can give you a spoiler. She will at least survive till the final episode of TOS.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know, it's
no, and the best thing that you guys could do is if you guys come back with a second season of that, you could say something at the, you know, obviously I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job, but at the end of the first season, you could say, you know, like, you know, rest in peace, Ensign Williams, or something like that. Then the next episode, have her come back with a fake mustache. All right, I barely escaped. You know, like,
sadly, all the episodes have been filmed, and we shot them all in April. So they've all been kind of just sitting in the can. But we are doing a companion webcomic. And there's at least a new page every Tuesday on our website, and there'll be 10 of them. And just, I don't, have we revealed this anywhere else? I don't know. But anyways, I'm going to reveal it right here.
I have no idea.
That webcomic is the glue from our season one to our season two.
Oh, I don't know if you revealed that or not.
And she gets a life-threatening something or something that will lead into our next episode one. Because if we get to do a second season – It'll be like the rest of season one of TOS. So it'll be the Menagerie Part 1 to, mm-hmm. is it City on the Edge of Forever?
Yeah, that's yeah. the finale.
Well, I'm already sitting there. Like I mean, before we did this, I did my homework and, you know, I scoured the website looking for more information. And of course, I'm like, Dave, do you understand there's a webcomic as well? Oh, my goodness. You know, we are.
That was a last-minute idea that we had, and we're fortunate enough to know a comic book artist who was like, yeah, I'll totally do that.
It was
we had
awesome.
We had the idea like the Thursday really before fun. We launched, and it was really cool that Jeremy Owen got his shit together, and mm-hmm. we got our first page out in time.
He's amazingly fast and amazingly talented, and it was really cool that we asked him this 4 days before the first episode launched, and he had us a page by the day before the episode launched.
Yeah.
And it's cool,
amazing.
Too, because now we can show areas of the ship that you more than likely will probably never see on this web series ever.
Okay. But again, you know, you've taken such a simple idea, and you spun it in a way that is entertaining, and you've got us chomping at the bit to get more of these. I can't wait to see more episodes
of
the show.
I think every Star Trek geek can really get behind this, you know. And for any of those that haven't seen this, they need to get out there and check it out.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, this is, you know, it's just so fun, and they're quick. It's not like you're going to spend an entire afternoon trying to get the series. You know, it's something real easy you
exactly.
can do on a lunch break, you know.
You do it on a bathroom break if you're sitting there long enough.
You can. I didn't want to mention that, but you know, maybe that was how I watched the first episode.
There you go.
I will say that the response has been overwhelmingly positive. We actually shot a video of just me talking because I was worried that people were going to think that maybe we were poking too much fun and being rude. Mm-hmm. But we've never aired it because everyone's been really, really receptive to it.
The week before the episode, it was going to come out a week before the episode was going to launch. And it's basically Ashley on the set as Ensign Williams pretty much being like, hey, we're not making fun of Star Trek fans. Like, we love Star Trek, da-da-da-da-da. But we released a couple clips early, and we did a couple interviews early, and everybody seemed to, like, love the clips and love it, and we were like, and I literally was like, I don't think we need this. I don't think we need to do this, and I think it breaks the fourth wall if we show this, because it was Ashley as herself on the set in costume.
Sure.
Okay.
Action figures. Yeah, I had like the Kirk and the Kirk and a Spock pop vinyl because I was like, look, they're cute. I love them.
Okay. So I don't know if that video probably will never see the light of day.
Yeah.
Still, you know, it's entertaining to know. I mean, but again, you're absolutely right. The show, everybody that we've shared it with, we've talked about, immediately there's been this overwhelmingly positive reaction to what's going on. So, you know, we cannot wait to see what you guys have in store for us along the way. We will be diligently following the adventures of young Ensign Williams and her journey to stay alive during the Enterprise's 5-year mission.
And funny little Easter egg, if you go back and watch the original series along with our series, which is why we planned it that way, so you can watch the Netflix episode and watch our show. Mm. If you watch The Man Trap, there is a scene where the Q4 alert goes off, and there is a girl that walks through the shot. She's just a red shirt, a girl in a dress that walks
brown hair.
With brown hair that is very similar to Ashley.
Okay.
Look for her, because to us, that's Ensign Williams.
Now I've got to go back and watch it. I haven't watched TOS episodes probably a good 6 months, maybe a year. And now
yes,
I'm like, I've got to
like
go back.
That.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used to say TOS as well, and then suddenly someone's like, are you okay?
How do you say TNG? Tanug?
Yeah, exactly. That was mine. I was like, you know what? Fine.
Boy.
Yeah. No, I could never say that. I could never pronounce it the way that my buddy Lars does, because my in-laws are British, and I couldn't go around calling myself a tosser, you know?
Yeah. No, sorry, folks, I'm a tosser.
No.
Oh, you're right. Too right you are, mate.
Yes, you are. Get out of my family.
Exactly. So, you know, again, thank you guys so much for sharing everything with us. You know, I know we've talked about everything besides the show and some of the show, but again, we love it. Our fans love it. We're going to keep plugging it as long as it's out there.
You guys rock, because like like this, you guys have said a lot of really super kind words through this podcast, and it's like, and you know, I'm in one of those situations right now where you've been so kind to me that I don't know quite what to say.
Right.
But also, when you sent the email, I saw the email and you contacted us, and I was like, oh, now this is this kismet. This Red Shirts people are just contacting us.
We felt the same way because when we came out with the Red Shirt Geeks, the reason what was born out of it is that we're all geeks, so at some point in our lives, we have had to contend with bullying or exclusion or some form of social trauma in our lifetime, and we consider ourselves the expendable heroes because
I like that.
So that's how it became. We always like, you know, we're all a bunch of Star Trek red shirts. You know, at some point, we're all going to suffer that horrible, horrible fate, but not today. So yeah, I mean, when we saw this, I thought, I gotta talk to these people. I don't care what it is about. I don't even care if they want to just talk about, you know, their favorite hangout joint for 20 minutes. You know, we're gonna talk to these people. But we had the same thing
it
happen to us.
Probably a comic book store.
See, now look at that, free plug. we had the same thing happen to us when we first launched, and we had the Red Shirt series on YouTube reach out to us.
We are online friends with the Red Shirts.
Well, there you go. So I think we're in the process of forming one fantastic Red Shirt family. But again, you know, Ashley, Jason, you guys, you bless us with your appearance on this show. We hope to keep talking to you and keep working with you guys and promoting everything you do along the way, because
I mean, I'll keep talking to you unless you just don't answer. That's just get ready.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have several overnight calls.
Wait,
and
wait a minute.
Most of them will be long distance.
Yeah. Here's the opening line. We like Deep Space Nine. That's the opening line.
is there a wormhole or something between California and Virginia? I mean, what has happened here? My phone number's not even listed. Oh yeah, the Department of Temporal Investigations. Yeah, yeah.
There's doctors there. It's pretty sketchy.
Hey man, I bought the right security rods from Cork, if you know what I'm saying.
Fantastic. All right, guys. Well, again, thank you so much. Everybody, be sure to check these guys out at theredshirtdiaries.com.
Don't forget the. It's important.
That's right. Theredshirtdiaries.com. Also on YouTube on Jawin, JAWIIN.
Two eyes.
That's right. And new episodes are out every Monday, correct?
Yep. Every Monday until November 3rd.
Fantastic. All right, guys. Well, again, thank you so much for your time. And remember, we are the Red Shirt Geeks, where every expendable hero has a home.
Shirt Geeks podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International license. Permissions beyond the scope of this license may be available at redshirtgeeks.com.